Hi, everyone. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Tiffany.
And Rocky's here, too.
Yeah. Rocky, you want to say hi to everyone?
Now he won't bark on demand. Yeah.
But don't worry. You'll know he's here because he'll come back. He'll
walk around. He'll bark at us. Yeah. And we, plus Rocky, are the Terror Girls. This is episode... Season 4, episode something, and we're really excited to continue our streak this season of inviting really cool guests from outside of Cleveland to introduce you to. So, today we have our Brooks tech rep, Caroline. How are you?
I'm doing great. I gotta say, the really cool description might be a little much for me to live up to, but I'm gonna try my best. Really keep it
entertained. I think you're really cool.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. I appreciate it. That was just me fishing for a compliment.
This is Caroline. She's super cool. She is not from the Eastern time zone. She is from the Central time zone location of Nashville. And Caroline, before we get into all your really cool stuff, we have some warm-up questions.
Good. I need
so
that.
So you need warmed up a little bit. So we're going to ask you some warm-up questions, somewhat unrelated to running. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
Let's do this.
All right. Question number one. Oh, here's Rocky.
Rocky, did you want to ask question number one?
Yeah? Yep.
Yes. No, yeah, I am the coolest person I've ever met. Thanks for asking. I appreciate it.
Great warm-up question, Rock. That was a good one. Okay, Caroline, would you rather be too hot forever or too cold forever?
This is actually one of the hardest would you rathers for me because, I mean, as anyone would say, I hate both.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like every year for a while it was the classic, like, you're running in the summer, you go, I hate the summer, I want the winter. You're running in the winter, you're like, I want the summer. But if I was going to have to choose one to just be in a constant state of forever, I think I'd choose hot, even though I'm a winter person.
Okay.
Because I am the classic, like, come in from a winter run, where throughout the run I've ended up just wearing a sports bra and shorts and 35 degrees. Yep. And then I, all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, I'm just violently shivering. I know you don't like that answer. It's okay. But I'm just violently shivering for the next 30 minutes. And it's I'm like, why? Definitely because I was wearing a sports bra and 35 degrees.
Yeah.
But
it's
fine while I'm running. But then the state of shivering, oh my gosh, don't give me that forever. That's awful. And, I mean, we said we wanted to shout it out. I do have a podcast called Sweaty Girls, and which that name, G-O-R-L-S, for those looking it up. But that came about because I always define myself as a sweaty person for a girl.
I can identify with that, very much.
Thank you. I'm glad. Yep. Male listeners out there might not like to hear that, but it's true. I don't know. I was always the person who, like, I nervous pit sweat.
Yes.
That's kind of where it came from. So I think I'm used to being someone in that state, so I'd rather be in that state forever.
Yeah, Brittany and I have a fun story from a trail race we did, like, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago at this point, whatever. And I drove and was going slower than her, and it was in November, and I had the key to the car. And she got to the end of this race, and it was really cold. And you basically were like low-grade hypothermic. I mean, maybe that's an exaggeration.
It's not
like,
at all. I was shaking. There was no inside. And it had gotten colder throughout the morning. It was a half marathon. Yeah. So it's a couple hours after we started. It had gotten colder. I was soaking wet with sweat and shaking. And shout out Charlsey, a Terror Girls
Charlsey
listener.
Charlsey and Kate.
Charlsey and Kate were like, are you okay? And I was like, no. And they were like, come in our car. So they let me in their car and wrapped me in a blanket and saved my life, really.
I ran past the finish line and literally, like, started running up the hill just, like, looking for Brittany because I realized, like, halfway into this, oh no, she's going to finish, like, before me and she's going to freeze.
Yeah. Charlsey saved my life. I was so cold. I have a hard time staying warm after I stop running. Yes. Immediately get so cold. So, I understand.
Yeah.
I actually had a similar experience to that once. I was injured in college, so it was just, like, watching a practice and was, like, filming videos of it, so my hands were, like, on and out of my gloves. I think it was, like, 20 degrees this morning. All of a sudden, I was walking to my car after the workout, and I literally was starting to black out.
Oh, my
And my friends thought I was joking. I was like, guys, I kind of think I'm going to, like, die at this track. Like, I was walking to my car. And same, I looked up afterwards, and I was like, what does this mean? Am I okay? And it said, early symptoms of low-grade hypothermia.
Yes.
And I was like, well, there you go.
Yeah.
So I feel your pain.
So, hot, too hot forever is the answer.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the right answer.
And also, we are survivors. So
absolutely. We deal with something not many people do. Okay, Caroline, do you prefer fiction or nonfiction? And why?
feel like I'm going to have trouble with all these easy warm-up questions, but it really, I am like an alternate fiction and nonfiction person.
You're someone that's not going to answer any of them.
No, I have been told to remain as diplomatic as possible during this interview. There will be a lot of I do not recall, so yeah. I'm just kidding. But
Brooks doesn't want you to offend anyone.
Exactly. If I do, I'm out. No, I mean, overall, if I had to choose, so that I'm not being stupid, I would choose fiction overall.
Okay.
Because I do like the escape element, mm-hmm. but I definitely am someone who is suffering from the Gen Z attention span, where if mm-hmm. a book does not catch my attention within the first 20, 30, 50 pages, uh-huh. I have trouble continuing,
yep.
whether that's fiction or nonfiction. Mm-hmm. I feel like nonfiction, I'm more likely to plow through it, but
yeah,
I recently have gotten some good book recommendations from people, so
awesome.
I've gotten back into reading, and I think fiction's taking the win.
Okay, nice. Good and answer. I'm all about quitting a book if you don't like it. I am,
yeah.
I feel like reading, unless it's your job, which, like, whose job is that? Because I want it. But unless
it's Keisha's job, okay?
That's true. Keisha at the library, our producer. She...
Shout out, Keisha.
Yeah. unless it's your job, it's just a hobby. So if you don't like it, you shouldn't push through. Now, should you relate that to running? Probably not, but we're not going to go there.
We don't need to. We're allowed to quit at something.
Yeah.
Since we push our bodies so far on a daily
Thank
basis.
You, yes. Mm-hmm. Don't quit when running gets hard, but okay.
Unless you're injured.
Yeah.
No, like sometimes still.
Right. That's
true. Okay, we're going to bring it back to the warm-up questions. Okay, Caroline, when it comes to cross-training, do you prefer yoga? Do you prefer weights? Do you prefer something else?
Does cycling and elliptical count?
Oh, yes. Yeah,
situation?
For sure.
Okay. I love to think that I like weights.
Uh-huh.
I only like weights if I'm running really low mileage because it's the only time I can motivate myself to do them. So I will say, the apartment I moved into, in our gym, we have a Peloton that just has full unlimited access.
Okay.
So I have really enjoyed doing that on cross training days.
Yeah,
just,
that's great.
Because I mean, I was injured so much in college. At least for a couple months out of every year, I was just constantly cross-training, so mm-hmm. it somewhat ruined a lot of things for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the Peloton brought back a new exciting thing that's not just you sitting on the bike being like, my heart rate is 115 and I can't get it higher and I hate this. So
yep.
yeah.
that's definitely helped that.
Yeah, Peloton is super fun. I went through a Peloton phase.
Did you?
Really like it. Mm-hmm. Yep. If you had to delete one food from existence in the universe, what would it be?
It's a very hard question to come up with on the spot. I wish I was like, well, I've thought about this.
No, that's
We've
the point.
We've actually had two guests so far that had an answer immediately. So really, this just tells me you have a like more refined palate, you know? More open palate.
Some might say. You should see some of my dinners. but can I choose an ingredient?
Yeah.
Gluten.
Okay.
Oh.
That's only because I love gluten to death. It tastes great, whatever. But I have celiac disease. So I personally would enjoy things a little more if it just ceased to exist.
Yep.
I mean,
that's a great
I've heard,
answer.
Maybe I should say American gluten because I've heard that even people with celiac can eat gluten in other countries because they don't process it as much as they do in the United
uh-huh.
States. So I haven't tested that rumor.
Uh-huh.
But I would remove gluten. Sorry if that's controversial.
Oh, I don't think it is.
It's not controversial
I
at all.
I feel like everyone's like, yeah.
You are so diplomatic.
Yeah. What can I say? I've rehearsed on my podcast. I'm not very diplomatic on my podcast.
Okay, last warm-up question. It's kind of difficult.
Okay.
Can you tell us a joke?
Oh, no. This is where I get canceled. No, just kidding. Let me think. I gotta come up with something. Oh, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Dwayne.
Dwayne who?
Dwayne the bathtub, I'm drowning. My dad always told me that when I was a kid, and I was like, that's so funny.
That is a classic dad joke.
That was way funnier than it should have been. Like,
yeah.
that was a real laugh. Like,
yeah,
I actually
that was authentic.
Oh,
yeah.
Thanks, guys.
That was
I was expecting pity laughs no matter what I said, but I was like, I'll give it a whirl. Yeah.
I wouldn't have pity laughed.
That
we would have
me.
Sat crickets.
I would have gone Rocky. Can you make noise now?
Yeah.
That was a hard one, though. I need to have more jokes. I rely more on like situational humor
uh-huh.
than
yeah.
jokes. So
yeah.
I
definitely
need to work.
I mean, knock knock jokes. I would say aren't like I can go days and days without hearing a knock knock joke. You know, like I bet the last time we heard one was when we asked someone for a joke. You know,
there's not enough knock knock jokes out there nowadays. Somebody fix that.
Bring back hashtag bring back the knock knock jokes.
Yes.
Okay, Caroline. Thank you for the warm up. questions. We appreciate it, even when the ones you refuse to answer.
I'm pretty warmed up.
You're both pit sweating right now. Okay, yes. So Caroline, you work for Brooks, one of our favorite best brands in the store.
I didn't pay them to say that.
Yeah. We do say that about everyone. But anyway, but you are extremely outgoing and fun, and you definitely exemplify Brooks's Run Happy. So can you tell us about how you got to Brooks? How'd you get into Run Specialty? How'd you end up here sitting at this table on the Terra Girls podcast?
It's funny. I once remember answering this question, except replaced the Terra Girls podcast with this interview.
So hopefully we're a little bit less.
Yeah.
My story sounds cheesy, but it's seriously real. When I was first starting middle school track, I remember going into my local Fleet Feet and I walked out with a pair of Ghost Fives. Mm-hmm. Was the whole experience. Uh-huh. And in that experience, I got my little Brooks box. And it had all the little people uh-huh. on the box. And I was just like, this is so cool. Like, I want to draw this. So there literally is like a picture on my Instagram where I just drew this really detailed picture of my ghost, like my old ghost at some point. So I don't know why. Something about just the Brooks image, the Brooks brand, literally from middle school, mm-hmm. I was super drawn to it. It's one of those things, like, you have the thought when you're a kid, oh, it would be so cool to work for a running brand. But at that age, you have no idea what that looks like. You just assume this is impossible, whatever. Started working at Run Specialty freshman year of college. I was running at Belmont University in Nashville, and a couple of my teammates worked at the Fleet Feet that was near the campus. So I was like, why not? I've always wanted to see how the running world works. Let's do it. So through that was my first like exposure to tech reps mm-hmm. and seeing that there were these local people who were all around the country who did these cool events, but still was kind of like, how the heck do you get that job? There's no way. What? I don't know. Mm-hmm. What the heck? So anyways, always in the back of my mind, running industry was my dream, but that didn't know how to achieve that. Didn't know if that seemed, what's the word I'm looking for? I was very into school. So mm-hmm. very into grades, very into how a job would look to people yeah. prestige-wise as opposed to like what really my passion was. So through that, actually tried to go to law school. Mm-hmm. And by tried, I mean I fully went through the process, accepted everything, went for 2 days, and then drove home crying to my parents' house and said, I don't know what it is, but this isn't it for me. And mm-hmm. I dropped out of law school after 2 days. Anyways, at that point, I was just kind of like, running is my passion. Everybody knows I have loved running for so long and just love talking about shoes to people. So kind of then like re-entered the Run Specialty industry, keeping in mind that what I wanted to do was try to be a rep. And then, I mean, call it God, call it the universe, call it fate. At the exact perfect time, a social media job opened up at Fleet Feet. The exact perfect time, a rep role happened to open up in Nashville when I wasn't really ready to move and was thinking that would be years. And here I am.
That's awesome.
It was cool. Kind of just like crazy talking yeah. throughout wow. the whole thing. But yeah.
That's
very
amazing.
Cool. Very yeah. cool. Brooks seems like from the outside, or I guess from this side, like such a cool job to work at, such a cool brand to work for, just a really great company culture, a really great running culture. It very much vibes with what we're trying to do at Terra Running, just get people running, find the positivity in it. So I think that's why we are often drawn to Brooks. So that's an awesome story. Very yeah, cool.
Thanks, guys.
No, it is. And I mean, I understand that feeling too of like what a job looks like on the outside, but it's like, kudos to you to kind of just know like, no, like, I want to be happy and do something that's my passion.
Yeah, so. Which it was so interesting. I remember, like, going through the interview process for rep jobs and being, like, for the first time when somebody asked me, why do you want this job or why do you want to work for this company? It was so easy. Mm-hmm. It didn't yeah. feel like I yeah. was trying to BS this interview yeah. and be like, oh, this is the answer they're looking for. I was like, this is genuinely how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. And so it just felt like the easiest interview process I could have, which I was yeah. like, this is where I belong. So
yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, and I have found that like working really hard is so much easier when you like the job.
Yeah.
Like it's still yes. going to be work, right? It's still going to be like a lot of travel, and we'll talk about like what you actually do day to day, but you know, it's easier or more fun when you're like, this is my job. You know, like, yeah, I'm working super hard, I'm exhausted, but can you believe that was my job? You know?
I have so many moments like that. Yeah. Usually it is driving home for an event or something. Yeah. Or even if it's been a long day where there's definitely been moments where I'm like, what am I doing? How can I do this? Blah, blah, blah. I'll be driving home all of a sudden just be like, that was literally my job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. It motivates you to work so much harder. Uh-huh. And I do have an amazing team at Brooks too, so that definitely helps too.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, let's talk about your team at Brooks. So you work really closely with Drew Jones.
The one, the only.
Shout out, Drew. You better be listening. Drew was on, I think, season one of our podcast.
Yeah, because Drew, if you remember listening to that episode, I mean, he was kind of the inspiration.
He was.
Just a little bit of our inspiration. Yeah. He's got a podcast called Running the 615, Nashville's Area Code.
Which I may or may not be on someday in the next 4 years, if he ever lets
me. Oh, you know she hasn't been on his podcast?
Yes. Okay, listeners, we had a meeting, like, I don't know, a week or two ago, where it was me, Brittany, Caroline, and Drew over, like, Zoom. And she was kind of roasting him because she hadn't been on his podcast yet. And we said, you're on our podcast. We'll send you an invite today.
Yep. A week later, here we are, Drew. Didn't take that long, Drew Jones. Yes. So Drew was our inspiration. So Drew interviews people in the Nashville area running community. We were like, heck, we can do that. Drew can do it. We can do it. So here we are, season four. So tell us what it's like working with Drew. Tell us about your team at Brooks. Like, is it really true that everyone who works at Brooks is happy?
Great question. We got a lot to unpack here. So what you might know is the part that I left out of my origin story of the Brooks job was the meeting of me and Drew Jones at my age of 13. His brother was my sixth grade English teacher at my middle school.
What?
Drew was working at Fleet Feet, I guess, at the time. He's probably just about to go to Brooks at the time that I was starting middle school track, and he was helping my English teacher coach this 1 year of my middle school track. So because of
crazy.
That, it's crazy. I mean, so he claims he was a start to my running career. Maybe he was. Maybe he was the end of my running career. I don't know. But
how crazy.
Oh, it's so crazy. Because, I mean, even when I worked at Fleet Feet, I'd see him walk in sometimes. I'd just be like, this is so weird. I mean, it's even weird now. That's another weird out-of-body moment I have. I'll just be talking to him about work things and be like, how did this happen?
Yeah.
Like, we are coworkers right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is a walking comedy routine. I cannot imagine, like, working with a better person than him. Because he also, like, obviously he was a tech rep formerly, so he's always so willing to help. We like to go to lunch and we'll say we're going for work, and then he'll just give me, like, major life advice for the next hour, which is just so funny.
Oh, sweet.
I feel like he's my therapist every now and then, which is co-worker, therapist, all
things.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's Drew, my sales rep that I work with.
Wow, sounds, like, kind of lame you haven't been on his podcast.
Right? Did you hear that, Georgia? I know. I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
But beyond Drew, it's so funny. Being in a job where you are one of the only people in your entire state that work for the company, it seems so like such a lonely concept. I mean, I came into this job not really worried about that. I mean, I was very much, I didn't think I'd be as close to my coworkers as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I also started at being like, oh, I'm sure I'll meet these people. Like, I don't know that I, this sounds bad, but I was like, I don't know that I really care about, like, trying to build deep relationships with them. Like, we see each other, what, once, twice a year?
Mm-hmm.
That very quickly changed when I started meeting everyone on our team work trips. I mean, when you go to these big expos where you're working long hours all day, you go to sales meeting where you're basically spending 4 days just completely together from 8 a.m. to maybe 3 a.m. every now and then. But it's very much, it's crazy. I went to Oregon with a girl who used to be a tech rep and the one who still is our Northern California rep, my podcast co-host the other week. And we were just like at dinner and we were chatting. And all of a sudden one of them goes, is this only the second time we've all hung out? It literally was the second. We had been together at one sales meeting. And then suddenly we all booked a trip to be on the other side of the country together. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how fast the relationships can grow. When.
Yeah.
Because it just, I mean, it's a lot of, everyone is so different, but I feel like everyone is, I mean, you have to be so driven to be in this job, and I think that's kind of just, like, a really cool thing that unites us. So, to answer the last question, though, everyone is definitely not happy all the time. We have our own struggles. It's not an easy job. You do get really lonely sometimes, especially after, I feel like a lot of times after I have one of these big group trips, I'll come back and just be like, oh, it's like you make really good friends with people, and then you're like, oh, I can't see you for 4 or 5 months, and I'm just doing this alone. So it's, it's a double-edged sword. It's both very motivating to know you have such a great team behind you, but it's also like, dang, I wish I could just work with these people all the time. So, that's the hard part.
It's so interesting because it's like being a tech rep or a field rep or whatever the brand calls it, it's like a remote job, but it's also not at all.
And,
you know, remote work didn't even used to be like a thing quite like the way it is now post-COVID, but the rep job's been around a lot longer than that, and you do have to be in a specific, like, area, and you are actually needing to be on site at a bunch of places. You can't just, like, go sit in your coffee shop and never actually interact with these accounts. Can you tell us a bit about, like, what your week looks like as a rep?
Yeah, the answer is there is no answer. Not being diplomatic. Every week is totally different. Mm-hmm. Which, once again, is both my favorite part of the job and also the stressful part of the job. Mm-hmm. Because everything is just, like, a pro and a con at the same time. Because it's, like, I love the independence that comes with the job because I am largely either having accounts reach out to me or reach out to them and very much crafting my own schedule, like, setting my own boundaries for yeses and nos for events and stuff. So I love that flexibility, but it definitely can lead to a bit of decision fatigue sometimes because you do just constantly feel like you're living in a world 3 months from now while also trying to be present in what's going on today. Mm-hmm. So you're answering emails about an event in May, you're doing an event and it's February. So that can be very much like, whoa, I feel like I'm kind of on all the time. But at the same time, I do love the independence of it. Like I was never, I don't think I was ever really like a 9-to-5 person. So it's very cool to have the other side of that. But I mean, on an average week, basically I have different types of ways that I interact with accounts. I have either I just visit a store, you know, say, hey, talk to the staff, bring them snacks. I'll do clinics with staff where I just will educate them on like a new release, the whole shoe line, the bras, whatever. Then I'll do events like demo runs. So on an average week, I try to have about 1 to 2 events. If I have a clinic, great. And then the rest is kind of consists of visiting stores. It's kind of what I figured out is my game plan. But we do kind of as a team reserve like 1 day a week is kind of office day that can be more of like a coffee shop, catch up on your work, answer emails, because you can very easily get behind on emails.
I'm sure
y'all know too.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of what a week looks like. It's very much like, I feel like a lot of weeks it's not really 8-hour days a lot, but it might be like, oh, you've got a day where technically with driving it's a 10 or 12 hour day, but then you've got one that's like a 4-hour day. So it usually, as long as you're setting your boundaries correctly, which came at its own challenge, it usually balances itself out pretty nicely.
How many miles a month do you feel like you drive?
It's a great question. I thought you were going to say run, and I was like, easy. Let me check Strava. Let's do some math. I did figure out, I think I got my car last year at around 30,000 miles, and I ended the year at like 71K, I think. Okay. So that would be 40,000 on the year. Divide 40 by 12, and what? That's like 3,500 a month, about. I feel like I did that math pretty quickly. Please take note of that.
Yeah, I was like, wow. Because I was like, I don't know, what is,
should we get a calculator?
So I think that's about it. Yeah, I mean, you go through phases in the job of like, oh, I'm doing too little, I'm doing too much, blah, blah. But I've kind of figured out for me, I try to only make 1 or 2 like substantial drives every week or else it just becomes you could be going to every corner of your territory at all times. So on a week, maybe like, oh, we said a month. I'm done with my answer now.
That's good. Well, we kind of talked about this before we started recording, but the listeners haven't heard. What is your territory for Brooks?
Great question. So I'm centered in Nashville. I cover all of Tennessee, and then I go down to Tuscaloosa in Alabama.
Nice.
Then I have a little sliver of Kentucky.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah. Hopefully you like driving. I like driving, but I can't decide if I would like it enough to be like,
on the road all the time.
I'm going 3,500 miles a month.
I like it because I like it because it's a very good time to process my emotions, and I hate it because it's too much time to process my emotions. The theme of the day is double-edged sword, but
I like it. Yep. I like driving because I can listen to audiobooks.
I knew you were going to say that.
That's like the only thing I like about driving.
Fiction or nonfiction?
Ooh, you can't. Yeah, we're here to ask you questions.
I'm so sorry. I were talking about
saying both. I like to read them at the same time. You shouldn't get me started on reading because this will turn into
this is for podcast.
I'm not mad about that.
Running. I love running a fraction of how much I love reading. I like fiction and nonfiction. Both. All of it. All of the above.
Getting on me for doing both, but I'm
still. Okay. Good job.
Call her out.
That was good. Touché. Yep. So that's awesome. I love hearing about your job and how it's so unique. We often feel like, as a running store, we don't have a lot of colleagues either, right? We know other small business owners in town. We know other running stores that we've made connections with in other towns and other cities. But we often feel like on an island a little bit too. And so it's awesome to hear about, you know, the cool events that you are doing in other markets. And then, just to have the support of the brand means a lot. So very cool.
Well, y'all are one of the coolest stores ever, so.
Thanks. You heard that? You heard it here first.
I wasn't paid to say that.
All right, well, we talked a lot about Brooks and kind of what you do for them, but you mentioned, and I mean, this is a running podcast, a little bit about your own running story. Can we, I guess, dig into that a little bit more. Like, how did you start running? And then I'm also curious about what your experience was like running in college.
Lovely questions. Once again, I started as a soccer player, as so many runners do. A soccer player who hated the idea of running. I mean, I always knew that I was better at the sprints and punishments than a lot of people, but it's kind of weird the way I said punish, whatever. So I was in middle school. I remember we did a time mile in fifth grade, and it ended up being kind of top two were me versus the quarterback of the middle school football team.
Okay, who
was also my crush. This was also the beginning of my intrusive speed goggles that I still have to this day. But anyway, so me and him raced it out. If you're not familiar with that term, look it up. But me and him raced it out in this mile, and I remember I had no idea what a decent mile time was for fifth grade. I just remember I came home, and my parents were like, oh, what'd you run the mile in? I remember running times really weirdly, but I remember it was 6:33. Wow. I never raced a mile in my life. It was in my school uniform. The sad thing is I wouldn't say I've improved that much since then, but it's okay. So anyways, that was when I was like...
in fifth grade, yeah.
Yes, yeah, both emotionally and physically. Yeah. So that kind of like started me doing track in fifth and sixth grade. Kind of did track cross country all throughout middle school. I liked it because I did well at the time, mm-hmm. but I hated practicing for it. I mean, I loved the team, didn't really like the action of running. Then in high school, kind of like soccer just kind of started going south. The weird politics of childhood travel soccer really mm-hmm. just didn't turn out in my favor. Mm-hmm. So eventually I was just like, I'm fed up with this. Running's going well. I was actually starting to like it at that point. So I was like, let's pivot, let's go for it. So sophomore year of high school is when I really first started running training, and then came a very complicated period where I was the most up and down performer in high school of all time, because I was one of those people who, like, running went from I don't like this to my entire identity, because athletics are always super important to me, and I mean, that's something I could unpack in another hour of a podcast of my complicated relationship with running at the time. But anyways, through all that, somehow pulled out one, like, good enough season to get me some, like, college contacts and stuff. I mean, I was very much at the level of, like, I could have been, like, good on a D3 team mm-hmm. or probably bottom of the pack on a D1 team mm-hmm. and never expected to stay in Nashville for college, but went on a visit to Belmont, fell in love with the team, loved the coach at the time, and was just like, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Because kind of one of the biggest things that always hindered me in high school is I did hate like being one of the best ones on my team, because I just didn't like the pressure of that. So mm-hmm. college running, to answer that part of the question, I was the absolute worst one on the team my freshman year. Like, dropped every workout. I just, the workout levels from what I was doing in high school to college were just such a reality check, mm-hmm. which you'd think would have just been really demeaning to me. Not demeaning, demoralizing to me.
Yeah.
But I actually am so thankful that happened, because that forced me to separate myself from running and just realize that, like, I'm working hard. These performances are not who I am. So for that reason, I'm really thankful that I chose a school where I was just yeah. not good when I started. Mm-hmm. And eventually rose to be maybe middle of the pack. So I stayed on the team, we're all good. But unfortunately, due to some ways that I treated my body in high school, I was super plagued with injuries all throughout college, which yeah. was difficult, because it would feel like just as I was performing my best, I'd have an injury, get set back. So I felt like I was kind of always playing catch up with everyone on the team, which was difficult, but I mean, the team brought me my best friends ever. I wouldn't trade my college experience for the world. Loved it. Made me who I am today.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah. That kind of reminds me of, speaking of books, since we've talked to books, have you ever read Lauren Fleshman's Good for a Girl?
I have not, actually. I've heard great things mm-hmm. about it, but I haven't
It's
read
a really
it.
Great book. It almost reminds me just kind of how you're talking about high school and then to college and even just freshman year. It's like bringing to mind things that she talked about and her experiences in that mm-hmm. book. Anyways, that's another podcast.
Nonfiction book recommendation. There you go.
So we'll have a secondary follow-up.
So. Yeah. Go read the book and then we'll talk. So what's your relationship with running like now? How did you transition to post-college? Now you're an adult, you're a grown-up. What's it like?
Great question. I keep saying that after every question. That's a great question. So my senior year, I was right in the whole COVID phase. So I was a junior when COVID hit, meaning I wasn't like my career was cut short, yeah. but the entire next year was just weird and
yeah.
not the team wasn't the same because we couldn't be together, all this stuff. I had such a bad stress fracture in my foot the fall of that senior year that I had to get surgery on it. Mm. I was basically at the point of like, the fastest we can get you back for is like, maybe you can just race the conference meet, which was really sad because like when COVID hit junior year, it was the longest I'd ever been uninjured. Like, mm-hmm. I had PR'd and everything in indoor and was, like, ready for outdoor, which, in the grand scheme of things, not the saddest thing to happen. But right. when you're a college athlete, yeah, it was absolutely. it was a big, weird time.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I did come back in time to race conference after this injury and had the slowest race I'd had the entire time in college. Mm. So, my first thought after that was just, I was angry. I was yeah. like, I'm not even taking time off. I'm just going to start training for something after college. Felt myself starting to get another stress fracture and was like, reset. Mm-hmm. Take your time to reset. Like, mm-hmm. You have the rest of your life. You don't need to rush into this. So I, for the first time, just took, so this isn't that much the grand scheme things, but I took a month, like, completely off of mm-hmm. running and almost off of working out, just, like, walking and stuff, which was yeah. something I had never, or I hadn't done since probably before I started soccer. Mm-hmm. So that kind of, like, I feel like that was a good mental and physical reset. To lead up to today, like, some people think that with running being my job, they're like, oh, is that mentally taxing? Like, does it, mm-hmm. are you tired of it because of that? I love running. Sounds stupid. I love running more and more every day. I feel like yeah. it would be mm-hmm. my job. It's post-college, I've lost a lot of race anxiety that I used to yeah. have. I finally just realized that just love training. Like, I feel mm-hmm. like I could just train hard for 6 months and not even race and be like, this is so fun. I just love seeing what I can do in this area. Mm-hmm. So my relationship with running is definitely one now that's hugely positive. As a few, I feel like it went from a negative relationship in high school to neutral college. Mm-hmm. Now we're very much in the positive range. Mm-hmm. So I just love it. I hate days without running.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Except for when I'm tired. I do take one off day a week. So.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I think it's so interesting. You know, we've interviewed a lot of people for this podcast, and I also love it. This is a side note, but it's funny. I was at a friend from college house last year, and her mom was visiting, and I hadn't seen her mom in a long time, and I was, like, out on a run. I got back, my friend was like, oh, yeah, my mom was like, oh, is she still doing that? Like, yes, she works at a running store now. Anyways, I just think it's so interesting hearing everyone's relationship to running, even people that don't run. Have a relationship to running.
Right.
It stuck out to me when you were talking about being in middle school and sports and soccer, how running was a punishment.
Right.
And that's a whole nother podcast we can mm-hmm. talk about. It's probably not the best for people to be using running as punishment, because mm-hmm. then you set people up with this sense of running equals bad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you were a college athlete, so you've got your own story in relationship to running. I never was a college athlete. I just got into running in college recreationally, mm-hmm. and I have my own, I don't know, it just...
Yeah.
It's just so interesting how we all approach it so differently. Yeah. And more than, you know, not everyone has a relationship with soccer or something.
Yes.
It's just, but it's
yeah.
like somehow we all have an opinion and thought yeah. on running.
And I have found that, at least in my life, it totally changes. I went through periods of not running at all and I had to focus all my energy on other things. And then periods where it's like helped me and I enjoyed like seeing how many miles I can do a week mm-hmm. by staying healthy. And so, yeah, I think it's very cyclical as yeah. our,
yeah,
like, phases of your life. So.
Yeah, that was really well said, that everyone has some sort of relationship. Yeah. Like, some people, like you said, it's hugely negative.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I think that's one of the coolest parts of this job is just seeing people who have both, it's been their life forever, they're running 100-milers or doing whatever, yeah. and then people who are, like, I'm running my first 5K and I'm scared.
Yeah.
And it's really cool that we can all just kind of relate in some way yeah. mm-hmm. on this one thing.
Absolutely. Yeah, my favorite part, I think, especially since working here at Terra, is just seeing how it can build community. Yeah, whether it's a group run or just a shared activity, a mm-hmm. race. And I think the three of us get to see that in the jobs that we do with mm-hmm. events and getting people out. And I love seeing that people's lives can be really pushed in a good direction by embracing the sport of running.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Well, we've talked food a little bit, books a little bit, running a lot. What? Tell us something else about yourself, unrelated to running.
I feel like this has to go with y'all's store. I love coffee. I love coffee shops.
Nice.
I have said for a very long time, I have a long-term, somewhat dream goal in life to open, like, a running store coffee shop. So when Drew was first telling me the Y'all Store existed, I was like, shoot.
It
Right? So I was like, oh my god,
it's a good model.
It is.
Because runners love a lot of runners love coffee. We gotta relate on that. I mean, I say that sounding like I'm one of those people who actually knows a lot about coffee and beans and, oh, this is not a good roast. I don't. Mm-hmm. I just enjoy a really good latte. I could drink a latte with the best of them. I like I could rank a coffee shop's vibe. But I would say that's something that coffee shops and running are two of the most enriching things in my life. So
that's wonderful. We also love coffee shops and running.
We do very, very much. That was a big sell for Brittany when we talked about me possibly working for her. I was like, well, it's running and it's coffee.
Yeah. So. How can she say no?
Exactly. Exactly. Do you have a favorite coffee shop in Nashville, or one your favorite one that you've been to around the country in your travels?
Oh, that's an even bigger question. Mm-hmm. In Nashville, it's currently actually I do have a winner. It was a toss-up between two, but then one of them keeps being too crowded, so it's the other one. It's called The Loading Dock. Shout out to The Loading Dock. It's like a mile from my apartment. It's down this kind of service road that it's one of those places where it's like, if you don't know about it, you're not going to get random people finding it, which I really like about it. It's covered in plants, some that you can buy, some that you can't. Cute art on the walls. I've yet to have a bad latte there. It's so good. They have board games. Great spot for taking meetings, having a little date, talking to your friends. It's got it all.
Okay, love great. We're gonna have to visit. I've never visited that one, so
well, come with me. I mean, I'll take you.
Let's do it
on Brooks.
Yeah, I was about to say on Brooks. We'll talk business. Don't
love it. All right, Caroline, thank you so much for indulging us in all of our silly questions. It was great to hear about your relationship to running and to hear more about the insights of your job with Brooks. So before we let you go, we ask all of our guests what advice that you would give to a new runner and a seasoned runner.
I love this. To a new runner, it's not everything, but it's something. I said that trying to be deep, and then it just came out. But yeah, I mean, I feel like that's probably the biggest thing that I've learned in all my years. Because as I said, I feel like it's so easy, even if you start running later in life, to just become super consumed by this thing and be super like, oh, if I'm going to get better at this, I have to do it every single day, and I have to have this super strict training plan and all this, like... No, I just get out the door and do it, and that's one thing I've learned as life has gone on. It's like, it's hard to get out of the mindset, especially if you've done athletics growing up, of being like, oh, I was going to do 7 miles today, and I feel terrible, and I only want to do three. Do 3 miles. Yes. Like, don't let running help your mental health. Yes. Don't let it hurt it. And that doesn't mean it's supposed to be easy. It's an extremely hard thing, especially for new people getting into it. So, but... I just think, like, do the amount that makes you feel better and helps your mental clarity, all that stuff. For a seasoned runner, that's a good one. Nice little giggle from me there in the background. even though I am a seasoned runner, I'm like, what advice would I be qualified to give to someone? I don't know. I think my manager likes to say this in terms of our account visits, but know your why. Like, I don't know. When you've been running for 15, 20, 40, 50 years, like... You might wake up one day and just be like, and be in the middle of a run that's feeling really bad and be like, why am I doing this? Mm-hmm. Like, when you're not an athlete anymore, there's no one telling you have to do this. So I think it's just kind of important to, like, find some reason bigger than just yourself to get out there and run. And for me, that's just, I genuinely, like, if I don't, I'm so accustomed to going on a morning run that if I go about my work day without doing that, I physically feel like I can't interact with, like, customers as well. I can't interact with stores and accounts as well, because it really is almost like my morning coffee. I really am, like, a morning run midday coffee person is how I would describe myself. So, I don't know. Find, like, what the ways that running benefits you that aren't just physical.
That's great.
Wow, great advice.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Speaking of advice, so our final lap question, last question of the interview. Okay. For this season, we're asking all of our guests, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
Oh, shoot.
It could be just kind of something that's sticking out to you right now. It doesn't need to be like the best piece ever.
No, it's the best. That's what we asked.
This is... Oh, no, this is advice, but this is not even running related. This is just like people all the time. My dad, I remember once, told me the opposite of love isn't hate, the opposite of love is indifference.
Ooh,
that's a good one.
So shout out to my dad. But that's just something I think about a lot. So maybe you could apply that to running, in that if you're getting out the door for the first time, it sucks, it hurts, and you're like, I hate this, that doesn't mean you shouldn't keep running, because maybe that means deep down you love it and you want to be better at it. So...
Well, it's making you feel something, right? Like, it's making you what? Why is it so hard? Why? What is pushing you to continue? I love it. Great job, Caroline's dad.
Yeah.
Thanks, Johnny.
We've had some good dad advice so far from that question.
Yeah, dad jokes and dad advice today.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
Start with one, ending with the other.
Yep. Well, thank you so much again. Caroline has joined us all the way from the Central Time Zone to talk about Brooks and running and dad jokes.
Yep.
So thank you very much.
Amazing.
Thank y'all so much for having me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is wonderful. Y'all are so fun to talk to.
Well,
I hope people out there gain something valuable today.
Oh,
yes.
They will.
And
they
make sure you check out the Sweaty Girls podcast.
Thank you. That was perfect.
Good pronunciation.
Thanks,
I like it.
I try.
Yep. And thank you to Rocky for being quiet.
Good job, buddy.
A champ.
All right. I am Brittany.
And I'm Tiffany.
And we're the Terror Girls.
Inspiring people one runner at a time.
The Terror Girls podcast is brought to you by Terror Running Company, Cleveland's specialty running store. Named one of the best running stores in the country, Terror Running Company offers top-notch customer service and all the best running and walking brands. Whatever you need to support your active lifestyle, we've got it. Carrying brands like Hoka, Brooks, On, and New Balance, we also have the best fit specialists to help you find the best shoe for you. Open 7 days a week in downtown Cleveland or 24/7 at terrorrunning.com.